Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful and amazing privilege that we have of being able to gather together in your name to worship you, to give you our praise, to lift our hearts, our voices to you, and to lift our eyes to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's read a scripture together from Colossians chapter 1. The words will hopefully come up on the screen here. And this is a declaration, really, about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So let's stand together, shall we? And let's read this out loud together. This is Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20 from the Message translation. Let's read together. We look at Jesus the Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. Isn't that wonderful? He is supreme. Jesus Christ, who we come to worship here this morning, is supreme. Above any of our circumstances, whatever it is that we may have experienced this week, whatever circumstances our lives may be in, Jesus Christ is above it all. He sees it all, and he is greater than it all. And he is supreme, worth worshiping this morning. Amen? Amen. So let's worship him. Let's lift up his name. Let's declare that he is crowned with many crowns, with this ancient hymn. Well, not ancient. It's from the 1800s. It's not that ancient, I suppose. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity.
Crown him the Son of God.
Crown him the Son of God before the worlds began. And ye who tread where he hath trod, crown him the Son of Man, who every grief hath known that wrings the human breast and takes and bears them for his own, that all in him may rest.
Crown him the Lord of life.
Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, enthroned in worlds above. Crown him the King, to whom is given the wondrous name of love. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we give you our praise. We lift up to you our hearts, the circumstances of our lives. We lift our eyes beyond those and give you our praise and worship this morning. Jesus is the name we honor.
Jesus is the name we honor. Jesus is the name we praise. Majestic name above all other names. The highest heaven and earth proclaim that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise.
Jesus is the name we worship.
Jesus is the name we worship. Jesus is the name we trust. He is the King above all other kings. Let all creation stand and sing that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will honor and praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise.
Jesus is the Father's splendor.
Jesus is the Father's joy. He will return to reign in majesty, and every eye at last shall see that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. We will glorify, we will
glorify,
we will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise.
Let's sing, Jesus is greater, Jesus is stronger, Jesus, you're higher than any other. Jesus is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
Jesus is greater, Jesus is stronger, Jesus, you're higher than any other. Jesus is healer, awesome in power, our God,
our God. Jesus is greater.
Jesus is greater. Jesus is stronger. Jesus, you're higher than any other. Jesus is healer, awesome in power, our God,
water you turned into wine,
water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you.
Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God,
water you turned into wine,
water you turned into wine, out of the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God,
our God.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God,
let's sing, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us?
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against?
Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
our God, our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God,
sing Jesus is greater.
Jesus is greater, Jesus is stronger, Jesus you're higher than any other, Jesus is healer, awesome in power, our God,
thank you, Lord.
How true those words are, our God. Can we really believe that this morning? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. Our God is healer. Father, we ask for healing for anybody this morning, whether they're in this meeting or whether they're members of our family or wherever, that you touch them this morning with your divine presence, with your divine healing hand, Lord. Our God is healer. You're awesome in power. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. You are higher than any other, and you are healer. You are a healer, Lord. and we ask for your healing hand on anybody this morning in this congregation, or if anybody associated with us, if there is anybody suffering with any condition, you can heal, and we ask for your healing right now. Amen.
As we stand in God's presence, if there's anyone else would just like to lead us in any prayers of praise and thanksgiving to God, then we've got a moment to be able to do that. Let's just give God our praise. Thank you, Lord. Letter to the church in Philippi in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 4, verse 19, "My God will meet all your needs. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So let's sing together that Christ is enough. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ is my reward.
Christ is my reward, and all of my devotion.
Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Through every trial, my soul will sing, no turning back. I've been set free. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ, my all in all. Christ, my all in all, the joy of my salvation, and this hope will never fail. Heaven is our home. Through every storm, my soul will sing, Jesus is here. To God be the glory. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Oh, Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
Praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
Let's sing verse 3 of this song. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again.
Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar. For Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, our God, praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord, our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, our God.
Let's sing. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night.
He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night. And I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise the name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, our God, oh,
praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord, our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, our God.
Oh, Lord, our God, there are not sufficient words to express how wonderful you are, how amazing and great you are. You have trampled death, and the angels roar for Christ the King. That same Christ that is alive today, that is here, present with us this morning. And in the limited and small way that we can with our words and our songs and our hearts and our minds. We give you the praise that we can, the worship that we can give you. It's not enough, Lord, but we give you ourselves this morning as best we can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you grant us that honor, that privilege of being able to give you our praise and worship. And Father, as we continue to open up your word this morning in our different age groups, would you keep our hearts open, Lord, to be listening to you? Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might hear you well in whatever it is that you want to speak into our lives this morning. And not only that we would hear what you have to say, but we would then go and put it into practice in our lives. And so, Father, we pray for each group as we gather now, the adults, primary school age children, and the young people. Would you speak to us all, Father, every one of us? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just as the young people gather out in the room at the back there and primary school children down in this room at the front, perhaps just the rest of us, just turn to someone near you and welcome them and tell them that you're so glad you're sitting next to them this morning. You wouldn't want to sit next to anyone else.
Good morning, everyone. We continue our journey through John's Gospel this morning as we continue to look at Jesus' journey through to the cross, which in John's Gospel now we're getting towards that point. He's got about a year to go, or less than a year now, before that fateful day. When I last spoke to you, a few weeks ago, we'd gone through a number of chapters then, and we came to the woman at the well, the officials, etc., where Jesus was talking to individuals. Pete last week moved us into a time when Jesus was talking to the thousands, when even then some of his disciples deserted him. They couldn't accept what he was saying. But Jesus was still under the will of the Father. He still needed to talk, he needed to share, he needed to make people understand who he was and what he had come to do and what he had come to say. His work on this earth was not yet finished. He still needed to talk. And now we come to chapter 7. And chapters 7 to 10 covers that final year of his ministry, from the second Passover to the third Passover. And that year was punctuated by the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is what is covered by chapter 7. And we'll be looking at it now. The first section there covers a discussion between Jesus and his brothers, who really didn't believe in what he was doing. And they were saying, well, now you've got to lead the procession into the week of festivities. You need to be there. You need to do all your miracles. You need to really show everybody who you are. Go on, you go and lead it. And his answer was, no, that's not what I'm going to do. So let's start reading, shall we, at verse 14 of John 7. Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? You are demon-possessed, the crowd answered. Who is trying to kill you? Jesus said to them, I did one miracle, and you are all astonished. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a child on the Sabbath. Now if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that this is the Christ? But we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me. At this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. Still many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said, when the Christ comes, will he do more miracles or signs than this man? The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, I am with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people are scattered among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, you will look for me, but you will not find me? And where I am, you cannot come. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Others said, he is the Christ. Still others asked, how can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and Pharisees who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards declared. You mean he has deceived you also? The Pharisees retorted. Has any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him? No. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier, and who was one of those own number, asked, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he is doing? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. The Lord bless that word to us this morning. So Jesus didn't go at the beginning of the week. He went in the latter part of it. Perhaps at this point, because it is relevant to what we're going to say, I'm going to explain a bit about the Feast of the Tabernacles. Because as I studied this, I smiled because God's timing in all this and Jesus' timing in all this, it's quite relevant to the fact it was the Feast of Tabernacles. It's an eight-day celebration that all males are summoned to attend. They all should come to Jerusalem. They should all join in this feast. They came to remember and give thanks for their release from captivity in Egypt and the provision that God made for the people as they traveled through the desert. They then extended it by making it a time as it was took place in the autumn, as giving thanks for the rain, for the seeds in the ground and the food it then produced in the harvest. Now, because so many people invaded, they all lived in, or they built, little tiny booths out of tree stumps and leaves and so on, a temporary accommodation for themselves for that week. So there were lots of these little makeshift homes, if you like, that they lived in for that week. And candles were lit to remind them of the pillar of fire that led them through the desert. They also celebrated the giving of rain for the harvest. And this they did through taking basically buckets out of the pool of Siloam, bringing them in, and they poured them over the altar and down the steps each day. It was quite a routine just to show and thank him for the water that was supplied. Then towards the end of the week, on the last day, it all changes. But Jesus has decided not to join in the initial part of the week. He wanted to keep it quiet, low. He didn't want to start causing riots on day one. That wasn't his idea. It wasn't the Father's idea. But he was led. Father said, no, you go. You go and I want you to talk. So he went. He very quietly went in halfway through the week on his own, sat down in the temple and around the temple steps, and he started to talk. And people listened and the crowds grew. But as it happened, when Pete was talking last week, the crowd became divided. Those who began to believe in what he was saying, those that disagreed, those that argued with him. And he tried to explain to them, well, you know, what I am giving you is what the Father has given to me. And what I say is true. It is not from me, it is from the Father. It's from him who sent me. And the words from that we just read is, he who speaks for himself honours himself. But he who speaks the will of God honours God. He goes on to explain that he is condemned for healing people on the Sabbath, but they can go on and do other things on the Sabbath, which are perfectly allowed, although it's work. So there's this contradiction in terms. He said, look at the word of God and see what is truth. Listen to me, because I am the truth, because I come from God. But in the same time, what he's also bringing home to them is that teaching and learning is one thing. But unless you have the Holy Spirit to illuminate what you've been taught, then the scripture will be of little value to you. And it's very difficult to put into practice what you've learned if a spirit isn't leading you in that practice. Your learning has no authority if it is not in the will of God as to what you then do. He wanted people to say your actions should be based on the knowledge of God and the will of God. There are two combined. And I think he challenges us today at the same time that what we do are our actions in the will of God. It's not our actions being in the knowledge of God, but our actions in the will of God. Jesus, full of truth, was still guided by the Father in what he did. His time of prayer every day wasn't to say, "Teach me more, Father." It was, "Father, what shall I now do?" He had the knowledge, but he still needed the Father to say, "Now what do you want me to do?" As he did here. He could have gone in day one, but no, he went halfway through the week because that was the Father's will. And the Pharisees, of course, got very upset by the fact that he was preaching and more people were listening to him. And he spent the last 3 days talking to people, trying to get them to understand where he was coming from. And that was what he needed to do. But then we came to that last day, the Saturday, the end of the week, the teaching done, the celebrations done. And on that last day, they have a great procession. All the booths they've been living in are taken down and thrown away. And there they are then. They stand in front of the temple by the steps. And from what we've read, Jesus was there standing on those steps watching them. And the procession started and they were singing and going along. Probably was interesting, we were singing earlier on, because I think one of the songs they would have sung, and some of you might remember it, is a song called El Shaddai. Yeah? And that means God is enough for me. We've been singing Jesus is enough for me. So very relevant to what we're doing. But they would have been singing this sort of songs, processing round the temple, thanking God for the past, thanking him for bringing them out of Egypt, thanking them that they had a country of their own now to live in, thanking them that the people were together, thanking them for the harvest, for the food they had, which were able to stay where they were rather than having to go somewhere else to get the food. And then when the procession comes to an end, they come back and it's a time of prayer. This is now looking towards the future. And of course, the one thing they were praying for which they wanted their king to come to lead them. And there he was, Jesus standing on the steps. Now they are in front, all standing, their eyes closed, asking God, you know, when is our king going to come? There he was, just behind them. And he stood on those steps where the rest of the previous part of the week, as I said, they'd had candles showing that the light was there. They'd been pouring water over the steps to feed the earth, to feed the food that they were going to live on. But now the light was extinguished. Now the steps were dry. There was no more water. Jesus was the light of the world. Didn't need candles, did he? And what was the water? What happened to the water? It wasn't there on the steps anymore. The steps were dry. The festivities were over. And at that point in time, Jesus stood on the steps while they were praying and he said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said in Isaiah 55, streams of living water will flow from within him." Water being poured on the floor wasn't important. Lighting candles wasn't as important. Yes, we remember what God has done. Yes, we remember what Jesus has done. But they needed a king. They wanted a future as they wanted it. And yet the king was there, but they were too blind to see. But they should have been able to see it. Zechariah 13:1 says, On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. The Spirit of God fill all who were thirsty. But of course, that day was yet to come. For those few moments on the stairs of the temple, our Lord cried out to the thousands. And this is the second time in John's Gospel I mentioned earlier about living water, because when he met the woman by the well, he mentioned living water there. So the second time in just a few chapters that John reminds us of these words, living water. And again, it's a bit later on, but if you go into Revelation, right at the end of that last chapter in Revelation, it says again, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Mention it once, okay. Mention it twice, important. Mention it three times. It's very, very important. And I can add to this, because in the last week when I was contemplating what I was going to do and say, walking up Priest Lane, and what did I see? I think it's going to come up, I hope, on the board. There it is. Living water. It's even on the side of vans these days. And oh, how I wish that everybody in Priest Lane had received that living water from Christ. But it's there. But I'm reminded at this time, as we're talking, of a preacher who was preaching on this. I was looking it up, what he'd said. And he said to the fellowship that Jesus had said, those who wanted to receive, he could give the living water of life. Then he turned to the fellowship and he said, how many of you are thirsty for Jesus? I'm going to ask you the same question. How many of you are thirsty for Jesus? Yeah. And I'll tell you what his reply to it was. What are you waiting for? It's a free gift. It's given to all of us. He's waiting for you to accept it. And that's our challenge. It's our challenge today. It's our challenge every week. Every day of every week. The Lord Jesus says, come, be filled with living water. Are you filled? Are you overflowing? Because he wanted to overflow within your bodies. Come, be filled with this living water. Be filled with the love of God. Be filled by his will in your daily life. Come, be filled with the power that he has to offer. And by the power of his Spirit, that water will just overflow into others. And the big difference is that people at that temple on that day, although many came to him, they would have to wait a little longer before they would be filled. But not you, not now. Christ is risen. His Spirit has come, and you can be filled this very morning, this very minute. Christ wants us to be filled to overflowing. And you can be. And you need to be, because without being filled, how can we fill others? How can others know that love of God, that grace of God, if they don't see it through each one of us? Also remembered of a guy called David Watson preaching, and he likened it to having a full cup of water. and walking round in a crowded town. And he said, and every time you bumped into somebody, that living water must make them wet. Has no choice. Whoops, sorry. Because they would have that from you, because you were carrying this living water with you. It would show, it would be felt, it would be known. That man is of Christ. That man is a living example. And I want to share that with him. And it can be from that living water you're given. So are you carrying your cup of living water? If you're not, then receive it. Touch it, feel it, know it. Have it inside you, overflowing into others. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, be filled. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on each one of us here. For those who have not known that filling, may they just come this morning and be filled by you. Let their minds be open just to receive this wonderful, beautiful, free gift that he wants to give. As Jesus was on those steps there, I could only imagine his feelings when he offered this to them, that many would just walk by. Many would reject it. But we know of the thousands that were there, many went to him. Many received and knew that he was God. He was Jesus Christ, their new King, their Saviour. Yet here we are this morning, those that know far more about you now, willing, knowing that you are the Christ. You are the King. You are the giver of all things. Now, within the year of the events that happened on those steps, Jesus died on the cross and rose in triumph so that we may be filled with that living water. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son to us. And Father, we thank you that you sent the Spirit on Pentecost. The promise that Jesus made was fulfilled, that we could and we will be filled. Now we pray, Father, that your Spirit will be here this morning, just to fill those that want to be filled. And Lord, for those who perhaps have been filled before but now feel more empty, then fall afresh on each one. Be filled again. As each day we should be renewed and be full, ready to share, ready to be with others. Lord, thank you for your gift. Thank you that we can be filled. Just come now and fill your children that they need. Whatever their needs, be filled now, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As I stand here this morning, I'm just remind you of the same words, or not quite the same words, that in as Easter approaches, it was in fact Christ himself on the cross that said, I am thirsty. But that's for another day, another time. Amen.
To come around this table, I'd just like you to look at this picture. The picture of a man who also comes round a table. A table where we recognize how much God has done for us and that we are called to feed upon him. And this man is a living testimony to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, of forgiveness and reconciliation. His name is Sokriasa Hin. And in 1977, he was 14 years old. So he's about 56 now, a couple of years younger than me. And he's what I call a giant. Because the way his life speaks to me, the way that what Jesus Christ has done for him speaks to me, encourages me and challenges me. And as we come around this table, we never come alone. We come through what Christ has done. And we come with thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people around the table. Sokriasa Hin was born in Cambodia. And at the age of 14, the Khmer Rouge came to his village. They took all the men and all the boys. They took them out. And they took them to a pit that had already been prepared. And then they used machetes and clubs and sticks. And they beat them to death. And he was unconscious and he was thrown into the pit. And he came to find bodies of his family members, the male family members there. And then he heard the women being brought out of the village. And the same thing was done. They were beaten and torn and left dead. You know, sometimes in a church service, people have said to me at the end, Jim, you've shared such a graphic testimony. Why'd you do that? Because it spoiled what I was listening to. And I say, how can it spoil anything? Listen to the whole story. He escaped and got into the jungle and went to another village. He was so scared because the Khmer Rouge had said, if we find anybody from any village that we've decimated or whatever, then we will destroy your whole village. And a man was sent out to take him into the wood and hit him over the head. But instead the man said, I can't do that. Here's some food. You must run. You must run and run and run because if you're caught, we're all dead. Sokriasa Hin finally made it to Thailand and he was there as a refugee for many years and had this burning hatred. He had vowed that he would destroy, that he would completely destroy those that had killed his family. He'd seen them being killed in such a horrific way in front of his own eyes before he went unconscious. And eventually he got to Canada, and in Canada he met somebody who was much bigger than anything he'd ever gone through, Jesus Christ. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But he said, I still found it so, so hard. I didn't want to forgive. I would dream about what I was going to do to these men. But then I found the power of God increasing in my life, the power of the Holy Spirit, who you've been hearing about, the power of a risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who was beaten and trashed, but rose again victorious. And he said, I learnt to forgive. And when I forgive, when I forgave, he said, I became free. And then what he did was that he sought out those who had killed. He actually went back to his country. And he went in and out through the villages until he found those men, some still alive, who'd been responsible for hacking to death and killing his family and so many others. And he went up to them. The villagers were expecting him to hit them or to destroy them. He went up and said, I forgive you. That's power. That's power. And the one who gives that power, gives his very presence, calls us to come round this table. Who says that we can have his victory, whatever we're going through. For Socrates a hymn, that took a number of years. It doesn't mean it's going to happen tonight, today even. It might do. But we come round this table, whatever state we're in, whatever we're going through, however hard, however difficult it might be, we can come around this table and proclaim that Jesus Christ is alive. And we don't just come around this table with this congregation here. We come around with Christians all around the world. Some who've been through what this man is going through, but does not live as a victim. Who stands victorious and is part of an organization looking at forgiveness and reconciliation. Who has sold out his life for Jesus Christ in that way. And I tell you that testimony not to make you feel small, not to challenge you to do more, but so that today we can all say, wow. Wow. That's fantastic, isn't it? And he loves us. But when we come around this table, we have to have great respect. You have to come in repentance and faith. If there's anything in your life that you know is wrong, that is not right with God, then you've got to deal with it because that's what he says. He will leave no stone unturned. And as we ask him for forgiveness, he will give us that forgiveness. When we ask from our heart, he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us. We are washed yet again in the blood that you've been hearing about. And so you can come around this table and I can come around this table with our heads held high, knowing that we do not deserve it, but that we can receive everything, knowing that forgiveness is there for us again and again and again, not to trivialize, but to say, Lord, cleanse me. Any thought that I have had, any action, any pointing of my finger, any judging of others, any pulling down of others, any ridiculing, any time that I felt that I just can't do anything and I'm a waste of space, because that's a lie, because your word says it isn't. Anything I've spoken in jest that shouldn't be spoken out, the way I blamed you, Father, forgive us our sins. Would we agree that's a good idea? Yes. Father, forgive us our sins. Now just think of anything. Just think of anything that's there. Maybe you've pushed God into a corner. Maybe you think, well, you know what, I'm too busy for God. I've got too much going on, or things like that. Anything. Or you blame God. Father, forgive us our sins. Amen. Amen. And Father, as we come around this table, we recognize the blood of Christ cleanses us. We recognize that it is Christ that feeds and nourishes and nurtures and uplifts. And we recognize that you give us the victory. We may not feel victorious. We may find that everything around us is screaming so loudly, but we stop and say, yours is the power. And yours is the glory. You break the chains. You set the captive free. And as I kneel before you, forgive me my part in this destruction of our world. And raise me up and strengthen me yet again. I'm going to do that after singing another song. Songs are like prayers sometimes. We bring them to God. It's one that has been laid upon Ian's heart as he sought worship. And we'll come together with that song. And then we'll come forward and we'll take of the bread and the wine. No matter how bad your life has been, or how far you may have wandered, or how difficult it may be, know you this, Christ's victory is there for you. Hallelujah.
We stand together.
The passion of our Savior, the mercy of our God, the
cross that leaves no question of the measure of his love. Our chains are gone, our debt is paid, the cross has overthrown the grave. For Jesus' blood that sets us free means death to death and life for me. The innocent judge guilty, while the guilty one walks free. And death would be his portion, and our portion liberty. Our chains are gone, our debt is paid, the cross has overthrown the grave. For Jesus' blood that sets us free means death to death and life for me. I give my whole life. I give my whole life to honor this love. By the Lamb who was slain, I'm forgiven. The sinner's Savior, crown him forever. For the Lamb who was slain, he is risen. I give my whole life to honor this love. By the Lamb who was slain, I'm forgiven. The sinner's Savior, crown him forever. For the Lamb who was slain, he is risen. Our chains are gone, our debt is paid, the cross has overthrown. Sets us free means death to death and life for me. Our chains are gone, our debt is paid, the cross has overthrown the grave. For Jesus' blood that sets us free means death to death and life for me. Means death to death and life for me.
Survive. As we come round this table, we proclaim your victory, whatever we find ourselves in, whatever circumstance or situation, no matter how loud the world shouts, we say Jesus Christ is alive. And your Son said, none can take us from your hands. And so, Father, as we come round this table, maybe there are those who will be bowed over with troubles or difficulties, hardship. May they find your power and your strength and your deliverance in new ways. For we feed on the victory that is through grace alone, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So come and take, for there are no second-class citizens in his kingdom. There's nobody more important than anybody else. All who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome. Come. Come and take. We stand amongst giants, men and women around our world who have suffered incredible persecution but stand and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. We stand together, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Savior. We proclaim his death, we proclaim his victory, and that he will return again. Hallelujah. Amen.
Let's bring our time together to a close by singing the song Victor's Crown, declaring that Jesus is the overcomer. He is the one who has the victory. He has overcome all that we may face in this world. And as we sing this song, we'll take up our offering as well. So for those of us that are part of the church family, this is a chance to obviously give financially into the ministry of the church as a whole. So the offering bag will come round as we worship God with this song. Shall we stand together?
You are always fighting for us, heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple. Let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Hallelujah. You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus, you have overcome the
You're ever interceding.
You are ever interceding as the lost become the found. You can never be defeated, for you wear the victor's crown. You are Jesus the Messiah. You're the hope of all the world. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Hallelujah. You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus, you have overcome the world.
Sing, every high thing must come down.
Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome, you overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome, you overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome, you overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome.
At the cross.
At the cross the work was finished. You were buried in the ground. But the grave could not contain you. For you wear the victor's crown. Hallelujah. have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus, you have overcome. The world, every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome.
Lord Jesus, we give you our praise because you are the victor. You have defeated the sting of death. You have risen again. You are alive today. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit, and so that those streams of living water will flow through us and touch this world around us as we go from here into our homes, into our workplaces, into our community, and our social circles. Fill us with your Spirit. Enable us to walk hand in hand with the victorious one, and enable us, because of those living waters flowing through us, would you have that impact on the world around us, that you may be glorified in us and through us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Please do take a seat. I think there's probably a few things to let us know about.
Just a couple of things. Wednesday night, we're looking at the life of Mephibosheth. Tiny man, big war, great God. And this is obviously not behaving. Never mind. And we also, George has asked to mention, it's a very valuable point, Margaret. We need a team of people who can bring Margaret along each week. Giorgio's doing it, and Margaret, being a typical lady, you phone her up half an hour before you're going to arrive and say, "Have you got your coat on?" And then you phone up 15 minutes before you arrive and say, "Have you got your shoes on?" So you can get straight out the door. But obviously there is the lifting of a wheelchair as well. But if we can get a team going for that, that's quite important. It's part of our act of worship as a church, how we look after one. And when we're